From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's fault. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of his second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
70 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 44 seconds away from that Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on Saturday, May 6th. There, now I've gotten that out of my system right off the bat. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Derby fever abounds throughout HRN Nation as we edge closer to that first Saturday in May. And only one Derby prep on the docket today, the Risen Star at the Fairgrounds. It's a big one. Features the return of Motown, who could go postward as the favorite in that race. Motown trained by Tony Dutrow, who is going to be with us here on the program later this morning, right around 9:45 Eastern, to talk about his Derby prospect. Don't forget, you also have the Gulfstream Park Sprint down at Gulfstream Park today. That live coverage coming up this afternoon on the network beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time. You can tune into that coverage on Sirius XM Channel 83 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you once again in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. And we do welcome everybody joining us across North America on Sirius XM Channel 93 and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And, of course, all of you tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. Welcome to the show on this 25th day of February, final show in the month of February 2017. And, Jude, I have to tell you, if you were walking around the state of Kentucky yesterday, it felt much more like the first Saturday in May than it did the final weekend in February.
Yeah, no kidding. Dogwoods are starting to bloom. There's flowers popping up all over the place.
It's crazy.
This morning, it's 40 degrees. So it's not good when that happens. I mean, a lot of times, it doesn't happen often here, but a lot of times the flowers start to pop in the trees, and then all of a sudden we have a freeze, and then everything dies. It's not good.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to pay for this weather that we've had over the past week. A few days that were in the 70s, and then yesterday getting close to 80 degrees. You said that your car was reading 81 when you were driving around town yesterday.
81 so. on New Circle and Nicholasville Road, which anybody that has been to Lexington knows where that is. It was 81 right there this morning when I got off to come to the studio. It was 40.
Yeah,
it's a 41-degree switch in about 12 hours or less. So it's crazy. But what, snow on opening day of Keeneland, do you think?
Wow, you read my mind. I was just going to go there with you. You know that's going to happen, right? And we're going to turn the calendar to that second weekend in April because opening weekend at Keeneland is April 7, 8, and 9, right? So we're going to turn our attention there before too long, and believe me, there's a good chance that we're going to have nasty weather on that opening. I hope it's not the case. I hope we have a day just like yesterday for all 3 days of opening weekend, but trust me, we've seen some chilly weather on that opening weekend at Keeneland before.
Oh, it's actually snowed.
Yeah, it has. I can remember standing in the announcer's booth with Kurt Becker and looking out over the racetrack, and it was snowing so hard. We got this massive squall that had come through, and the horses were going to the gate on the far side of the track. How Kurt was able to see those horses, I'll never know, because it was pretty much a whiteout. And somehow, he was able to call the race. I think what he did is he turned and he used the television monitor as best he could Pretty remarkable, though, because it was – I couldn't see a thing. I couldn't see the other side of the racetrack.
Hopefully everybody had their arm numbers on.
Correct. Correct. Not only are we edging closer to the first Saturday in May, but it means that we are edging closer to the first Saturday in March. And you know what that means. It means that we are now 7 days, 8 hours, let's call it 58 minutes and, 12 seconds away from the running of the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup, where we will be next year, or yes. Next week. Next year, hopefully next year too, Lord willing.
Yeah, we can never have enough trips to Barbados. it was a little bit of consolation when I was driving in this morning and saw 40 degrees, you know, because that never happens in Bridgetown. It's in the 70s every day.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if it gets down to 70, everybody in Barbados puts on their sweaters and their sweatshirts. They think it's freezing at 70. So. We're very fortunate to be going back and looking forward to it. It's going to be a really good addition to the Sandy Lane Gold Cup this year. And Mr. Ramsey's got a couple in there, and that's always fun.
Shocker.
Shocker.
He has to get back on the win streak again. His two-race win streak was broken last year.
I'm giving him a lot of credit for going back this year because he really wanted to pull off the hat trick, but he... You know, he's sticking to his guns. And, of course, I think it's really fun for him when he goes down there because he's such a celebrity at the racetrack. And everybody, you know, wants to talk to him, shake his hand, see what's up. And he really loves it there. I think he loves it almost as much as I do.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a beach bum like I am. But he certainly has a great time. And he hits all the parties. He loves the polo match on Sunday. He's got a lot of things that he likes to do when he goes down there, and it is a great place to go.
Yeah, that Gold Cup coverage comes up next Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern. That also means that this program, the Equine Forum, will be hosted live from Garrison Savannah in Barbados, so don't miss us. It's going to be a really, really cool show. We'll have a lot of original content, some different things that maybe you haven't heard before when it pertains to thoroughbred racing, because it is a different environment there in Barbados, and we're going to tell you all about it on this program and throughout the coverage. Next Saturday, you can visit horseracingradio.net to check out a complete schedule and to listen to us worldwide. In honor of our trip to Barbados next week, we are going to throw out a poll question today that I thought, well, let's do it a little bit differently. We're not going to give you choices, so you're going to have to respond to this poll question on our Twitter page, but we hope you will. What international racing destination is number one on your bucket list? What international racing destination is number one on your bucket list? Is it Barbados? Maybe it's Dubai. Maybe it's Royal Ascot. Maybe it's Hong Kong. Who knows? But we want to hear from you. It might be the Arc de Triomphe, right? Yeah. That could be a good one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, any of those. It could be Woodbine, right? We were up there for the Queen's Plate.
Yes, and we're going back again.
Yes, we are.
And that's fantastic. How about the Melbourne Cup?
Oh, man. That has to be high on my list. Well, now I've been to Barbados, so I've checked it off. So
first Tuesday in November.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What international racing destination is number one on your bucket list? We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. Tweet to us at HRRN and let us know, and we'll try to get to those responses as we move throughout the program here this morning. It is a busy morning. Bill Mentis. Well, you're going to hear an interview with him, and you say, well, who's Bill Mentis? Well, guess what? Bill is a longtime listener of the program. He is a veterinarian, and he took his entire family to Barbados last year because of how great we told him it was on this very same program. So Bill had a chance to catch up with Jude earlier this week, and that interview is going to come your way after the first commercial break. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Some great stuff as he talks about his visit to Barbados. Eddie Woods will be with us right around 8:35 Eastern time. That Fasig Tipton Florida sale coming up on Wednesday. And Eddie, always a prominent consigner when it comes to the two-year-old scene. So Eddie will join us at 8:35 to look at his consignment and talk about the two-year-old sales picture and where we stand here in the industry. Eric Hamelbeck, the CEO of the National HBPA, is going to be in studio with us right around 9 o'clock Eastern. Some interesting things coming out this week. The HBPA somewhat under fire because of an article that appeared on Pollock Report, and Eric is going to be here to address some of the concerns that were brought up in that particular article. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park will make his weekly visit here on the program right around 9:25, and then Tony Dutrow will go down the road to the Kentucky Derby with us at the end of the program. That segment presented by Gainesway. Tony sending out Motown in this afternoon's Risen Star. So an awful lot of things to get to. We'll do it all next right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with three black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the Bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by five in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Billy Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Adina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit Flair strips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Risen Star continues to lead the way by four. King Post has now moved into second as Winning Colors has had it. Grand's Time moves alongside and gains into third. The Mile and a Quarter into a 1-3. Risen Star continues to lead easily by six. King Post remains in second. Grand's Time is third on the rail. They pass the eighth pole. Risen Star draws clear to a 10-length lead. King Post second. Grand's Time on the rail is third. The winner of the Belmont Stakes, Risen Star!
Well, who can forget that moment back in 1988? Risen Star winning the Belmont Stakes, the son of Secretariat, now has a race named in his honor It is a Kentucky Derby prep race, and it takes place this afternoon at the fairgrounds, and looking forward to that race. But boy, a little trip down memory lane there. How nice was that?
Yeah, I remember that race. Love the call, too.
Yeah, outstanding. Risen Star getting the victory in the Belmont back in 1988. Remember, he won the Preakness before that. He was third in the Kentucky Derby that year, and what a horse. A really, really outstanding racehorse, and looking forward to that Derby prep today. You know, when you look at his record, he won 8 of 11 starts and earned over $2 million. And you talk about earning over $2 million back in that era. What would that number have been today if he had won those races that he won and did it in this era?
Oh, yeah. He'd massive. Been like maybe close to 10, huh?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. Really, really outstanding racehorse, Risen Star. Eddie Woods is going to join us at 8:35 Eastern. He's going to talk about the Fasig Tipton Florida sale and his consignment. But before we get to that point, we thought we'd bring you this interview that Jude did earlier this week with Bill Mentes, who had a chance to visit Barbados with his entire family, took his family there and really enjoyed it a month ago or so?
Yeah, last month, yeah. January, he took his family down there, and he's self-proclaimed poodle repairman, veterinarian, and he listens to our show on Saturday mornings when he's working on the animals. And so I caught up with him this week and asked him about his trip and asked him why he went to Barbados.
Well, actually, and I told my wife and kids this, it's because I listen to your show every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 and you promote Barbados. And I said to him, if this guy's travel tips are as good as his horse racing tips, this is where we should go.
Well, so, thank you.
And then actually, you know, when I found that JetBlue has nonstop flights and they're very reasonably priced, I mean, that's a big plus because we've been to like Grand Cayman or St. Croix and you have to stop in Miami or Puerto Rico. So to have a 4.5-hour nonstop flight was just really... appealing.
Where did you fly from?
Boston.
Oh, from Boston. Direct flight on JetBlue. I love JetBlue. As a matter of fact, when we go down there next week for the Gold Cup, we're flying JetBlue from Fort Lauderdale. So it's a fantastic airline.
Well, I agree. And, you know, they advertise more leg room, and it's true. And that's a big plus when you're sitting around 4 hours.
Yeah, the planes are beautiful, and the service is great. And I just don't have enough nice things to say about them. You flew into Grantley Adams International Airport in Barbados. Did you notice anything when you got there?
No, not particular.
There's a big picture of Patrick Husbands in Mr. Ramsey's silks when you get to the airport. And when we were there last year, we were on the same flight with Mr. Ramsey, and he wanted photos, and Mike started taking photos of him while we were there. And there's big signs everywhere: no photography in the airport.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. No, I missed that. I would have liked to have seen that picture.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, where did you stay when you went down?
Well, that was the other good thing. We used Home Away, which is like Airbnb, and we stayed in the Oystons area. We got a house that slept six, and there were five of us, and it was less than $1,000 for 7 nights, which was very reasonable. We were a 5-minute walk to that clear blue water on one of the beaches, and not far from their Miami beach. That was about a 20-minute walk where we did a lot of snorkeling. But, we were centrally located. First night we got there, we just did all our shopping and got groceries for the week. And actually, you know, that JetBlue flight leaves at 7:20 in the morning. We were on the beach by 3 that day. So that was another plus. And, that Oystons fish fry, have you been to that?
Yeah, that's really cool, huh?
Yeah, that is. That's a lot of fun. The fried flying fish is pretty tasty, too.
Yeah, that's a big event down there, and actually that's penciled in. My wife really wants to go to that. We missed it last year. We were really busy and didn't have a chance to go, but we're going to try to make it this year. Do you drink?
Yeah, a little bit. The Banks beer I liked a lot.
Yeah, Mike loves the Banks beer, too. It's really a delicious beer. Did you try any rum while you were down there?
No, I'm not much of a hard liquor drinker, so I did not try that. None of us did.
Well, it's a big thing on the island, and of course, rum has been made in Barbados for, I believe it's 314 years now. So,
wow, I know it is the oldest rum factory or whatever you call it.
Yeah, they Mount Gay takes credit for that. Sir David Seal, he takes umbrage at the fact that they take credit for it. But, you know, it's the rum wars that they have going on in Barbados.
Yeah, that's right.
did you do any other activities while you were there?
Well, like, you know, we did the snorkeling. What I really enjoyed is we went over to the East Coast, which I know you like, the Bathsheba area where there's the huge waves for surfing. And the view there, the rocks and the rough water, we got to watch some surfers. And, man, they were really ripping some waves off. It was just exciting to watch, and the scenery was beautiful. We had a nice fish dinner right there. We also went to, we wanted to go to the movies in Whole Town, which is really upscale. So I imagine you might not have been there.
Yeah, I've been to Whole Town. I didn't go to movies, but it's really cool. The first time I went to Barbados, I stayed at a place called James Bay, which is on the West Coast. But yeah, you spoke of my affection for the East Coast, and I really love it. And you have to be a really good surfer to surf on the East Coast. It's not just for amateurs. You really got to be good and be able to swim.
No, that's true. This people we were watching surfing, it was incredible, really. And it was part of the fun, too. You know, the transportation in Barbados, you know how you just walk down and put your fist out and those crazy cabs stop?
Yeah.
that was really an experience. I mean, for $1, they'll take you a good distance, but they speed and the music is loud. And it's actually, when I think about it, it was kind of fun. But at the time, I was a little nervous.
Yeah, new experience. Well, I usually get a car when I'm there. I don't mind driving on the left, although I did pop a tire the last time, but we won't talk about that. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a beautiful place to be and a great place to hang out. Now, you went to the races while you were there at Garrison Savannah. What was that experience like?
Oh, that was great. And, you know, they are only open every other Saturday, so I wanted to go when they were open, and it turned out they were also open on a holiday weekend when we went, and that was really fun. I took my wife and kids, who aren't big horse racing fans, but they had a good time because it's a small venue. It reminded me a little of Charlestown, but here you could even sit. You were sitting right on the track, and you could see the horses in the paddock area beforehand, and the track itself was in good shape, and I was actually impressed by the quality of the race here. I mean, the times and the pedigrees of some of the horses were pretty interesting. I don't know a lot of pedigrees, but I recognized a lot of the sires. And, of course, I had Jude Feld's speed figures to help me out. The only thing, three of the seven races were maidens with a lot of first-timers, so I couldn't use them there. And one of the races only had three horses. But the other three races, your figures were pretty good. And we also, they have a good website. My daughter's boyfriend and I spent the morning watching replays.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
You know, they have a lot of the same horses have to run against each other because, you know, it's a smaller island. And so watching the replays was good until we got some bad trips.
Yeah. Well, it's a tricky course. It's right-handed, and it's a small track. It's a bullring, kind of an egg-shaped turf course. So
yeah.
It's not the easiest place to ride or to get a good trip. Sometimes you have to factor that in, but did you cash any bets?
You know, well, it's funny. When we got there, they had just installed a new state-of-the-art computer system, and the guy says, oh, I don't know if we'll have it ready for the first race. But they did. They got it up and running. The lines were long. I got shut out a couple times. But, you know, I wasn't really there to bet or to make money. I was just there to enjoy the ambience and the local crowd, which was kind of fun. So, once they got the computers running the last five races, everything was smooth. And, I just bet a couple dollars. And they have all the exotic bets like we do here. And like you had told me, the past performances are hard to come by. So that's why we watched the replays that morning.
Yeah, that's very smart of you. And there's not a lot of information in the racing program. They don't have anything like a racing form or anything like that. It's just the racing program, and it's basically the finish positions of the horses in their races and the jocks that rode them, and very rudimentary handicapping stuff. And that's why I started making the speed figures, because I thought it might give me a leg up, and it's been a fun process to do. Plus, you don't have to spend hours and hours doing it because they only race every other week.
Right, that's true. But, you know, I think, I would go again just because it was fun.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you would go back. Was your trip long enough?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Mine's never long enough.
Yeah, I like my job, and I'm happy up here in northern Vermont with 5 feet of snow in front of me right now. But, so a week of getting sun and surf and all that fun, that was good. That was plenty.
That's good. Have you told your friends? Have you talked anybody else into going?
Let's see. I have raved about it to everyone, but nobody that I know of has made any plans. I would go back next year. I'm the type of guy that usually likes to go someplace new every year. But there was so much of Barbados we haven't seen that I would like to see. That, I didn't know that Spitestown, one of my favorite sires, was a town in Barbados.
Right, absolutely.
So I didn't get there. I'd like to get there.
Yeah, it's a cool place. There's a lot of neat things there. The oldest Jewish synagogue in North America is there. A lot of people don't know that.
And, that's weird.
Yeah, it's not a place you would figure, there's a lot of history there and a lot of cool places to go and things to see. The museum there is outstanding. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I went there before my first Sandy Lane Gold Cup and really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for spending a little time with us and for going to Barbados. We appreciate it. Barbados Tourism appreciates it, and we'll look forward to a trip with you next year.
That sounds great, and thanks for the recommendation.
Bill Mente's catching up with Jude earlier this week, and now you see why we enjoy going to Barbados so much. And if you're looking for that family vacation, well, you couldn't do any better than that island paradise. And we can't wait to get back there next week for that Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. Jude, I have to tell you, only a minute or two left here before we have to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but I think my favorite question of the entire interview was, do you drink?
Well, you know.
Why does everything have to come back to alcohol?
Well, on Barbados. Hello.
It's like listening to an interview with the Big A. Do you eat? Everything comes back to food.
The rum capital of the world. I was surprised, actually, that he didn't have any rum. But he's not. I guess he's not a hard liquor man. But he did like the Banks beer, which is one of your favorites. I know.
Yeah.
And you're not an off-the-board beer guy. You were skeptical.
That was a little crazy for me. Beyond... Like, I think as crazy as I typically get would be like a Red Stripe or Negro Modelo if I'm at a Mexican restaurant, right?
Right.
Banks beer was a little different for me.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. Good place. We can't wait to get back there again. Our coverage of that Gold Cup coming up 3 o'clock Eastern time next Saturday, Sirius XM 83 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And don't forget this program originating from that great racetrack, Garrison, Savannah, next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern time. All right, Eddie Woods is going to be with us after our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. He's going to talk to us about his consignment at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Florida sale, one of the premier two-year-old and training sales that you'll find anywhere in the country. Eric Hamelback set to join us at 9 o'clock Eastern time from the National HBPA. You won't want to miss that segment. Mike Nyman at 9:25 and Tony Dutrow at 9:45 this morning. Each week, we bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment at this time, and this week, no exception. The Lexus Legends of the Turf story brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
It wasn't planned that way, but it turned out to be a promoter's dream. The event was the Trenton Handicap at Garden State in New Jersey in November of 1957. The question before the race might well have been, who will wear the crown? After all, the Miss America contest was held in the same state, and in this race, the three outstanding colts in America at the time, Round Table, Bull Ruler, and Gallant Man, were ready to answer the call to post for the mile and a quarter test. Two of the horses were locked in the struggle for not only the two-year-old crown, but Horse of the Year as well, Round Table and Gallant Man. The third member of that troika, although very good, considered a tag-along, was Bold Ruler. The cast of characters for the drama about to unfold bears closer verbal scrutiny. Round Table was a small, very powerful son of Prince Quillo out of Knight's Daughter by Sir Cosmo. He'd done everything asked of him and more. And against all comers, those with speed, those with distance durability, and those that were older. He'd won 11 in a row on any kind of racing surface all over the country. He was a slashing speedster, especially at middle distances. He set a track record of 158-3 in the mile and a quarter Hollywood Gold Cup, and was the only three-year-old ever to win it. He'd equaled the track record at Hawthorne for the same distance in winning that Gold Cup, and set a new mark at Keeneland for 1 1/8 miles. Owned by Travis Kerr, trained by Willie Moulter, the only chink in his armor was not a particular fondness for an off-track, and the track at Garden State on this day was rated as good. Gallant Man was a small, sturdy son of Majoli out of Majida by Mahmood, obviously English inbreeding and quite formidable at that. Very versatile, superb stamina, acknowledged as the best in the East. It equaled Tropical's 6-furlong record with a blistering 109-2, smashed the American 1 1/2 mile record at Belmont, and the 9-furlong track mark at Belmont as well. He'd won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 2 miles, lost a heartbreaker in the Derby through a rider error, that was the infamous Shoemaker misjudgment of the finish line, and he had swapped wins with Dedicated, the Nassau County, and the Woodward. Both of the latter were weight for age. Owned by Ralph Lowe, trained by the highly capable Johnny Nayrud, the possible chink in his armor was also an apparent less than zestful liking for an off-track. Bold Ruler was considered the uninvited guest, as it were, akin to Sheridan Whiteside in The Most Entertaining Man Who Came to Dinner, a role quite remarkably well played by Monty Woolley, by the way. Bold Ruler was the sometimes erratic son of Nasrullah out of Miss Disco by Discovery. He had proven he could carry a lot of weight, having done so in winning the Bahamas, Flamingo, Wood Memorial, a race in which, by the way, he defeated Gallant Man in track record time, the Preakness, the Jerome, the Vosburgh, and the Queens County. He appeared to have lost his edge through the summer, encountering difficulty going over a mile and an eighth. Very speedy out of the gate indeed he was, owned by Mrs. Henry Carnegie Phipps and trained by the legendary Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. Possible flaw? He had not done well at all in previous attempts at 10 furlongs and had been demolished by Gallant Man at 12 furlongs. Bold Ruler in this race, as expectedly, broke very quickly with Heady Eddie Arquero in the saddle and went on out to set the early fractions. Round Table swerved and broke in a tangle, Gallant Man away in good order. Into the clubhouse turn, Bold Ruler opened a 3.5-length lead, but that too had been expected with Round Table second, 3 lengths in front of Gallant Man. Bold Ruler cut the first stop in 47 and run, running freely and pulling off to an open 5-length lead. At the far turn, Bold Ruler had not let up one single bit, and he had an 8-length lead. The very astute Arquero now began to look back for the expected challenges. Gallant Man made a bit of a run around the turn to come abreast of Round Table, and those two matched strides while slowly closing in on Bold Ruler. Round Table was the first to give up the chase, but Gallant Man close to within 2 lengths of Bold Ruler, but they were in mid-stretch by that time, and Arquero still had some horse left. He hand-rode Bold Ruler to the wire to a 2-length win. It had been Bold Ruler's day. Not the way the experts figured it, but races often turn out that way. For example, the 1930 Travers, when the question had been Gallant Fox or which one or Gallant Fox. Well, it turned out to be neither. It was Jim Dandy then at 100-1, and it had been Bold Ruler on this particular day. A solid victory for, not the man who came to dinner, but the horse who came to race, in November of 1957 in the Trenton Handicap, and he did indeed leave wearing a crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a fire speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half-brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway. Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, broadcasting live from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning. Don't forget, you can tune in to the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint, part of our continuing coverage of Saturdays at Gulfstream. That comes up later this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern. That entire Saturdays at Gulfstream series presented by the FTBOA, and you can listen in Sirius XM Channel 83 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Gulfstream is going to be electric this week because you have the Gulfstream Park Sprint and the return of Mind Your Biscuits coming up later today. Later this week, March 1st, Wednesday, you have the Fasig Tipton Florida sale, that two-year-old and training sale, which is rock solid. It's a sale that last year, well, it's a sale that produced last year's Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist, and it has produced so many top runners over the years. So if you haven't already made plans, get there quickly. The sale coming up on Wednesday at Gulfstream Park. And then next Saturday, in addition to our coverage of the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup from Barbados, Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason are going to be live on site at Gulfstream Park to bring you coverage of the Fountain of Youth Stakes, that major derby prep looking ahead to that road to Louisville and a horse looking to punch their ticket. And Jude, you look at this afternoon's Risen Star Stakes and you look at next weekend's Fountain of Youth. These are 50-point races. The Risen Star today is the first race that will award the winner 50 qualifying points to get into the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. Basically a win and you're in, right? 50 points is going to lock you into the field. So if you can win today, you don't have to worry about anything else the rest of the way other than just getting fit and making sure you can peak when you get to Churchill Downs.
Staying healthy and happy, that's what almost every trainer tells you.
Yeah.
The key to success, healthy and happy horses. And also today, which Anthony Stabile and I found out yesterday, the Busher at Aqueduct today is a 50-point race for the Kentucky Oaks.
So there you go.
So it's a big day for the fillies as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good day of racing coast to coast and certainly in New York and in Florida and around the country, certainly at the fairgrounds with that Risen Star. We asked a poll question at the top of the show. In honor of our trip to Barbados next week, which international racing destination is number one on your bucket list? And you can still chime in. We'll try to read those responses as we move throughout the program. Good time to do it as we effort Eddie Woods to talk about his two-year-old consignment at the upcoming Gulfstream sale. Jude, here you go. Not sure if this is considered international, but the Queen's Plate is international for me since I'm in the U.S., and we certainly consider it international. We did when we went to Woodbine last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It counts.
Yep.
Okay, so there's one. Dubai or Ark, although would likely go to Saratoga Springs per usual instead. How about that? But if you had to go somewhere else, it would be the Dubai race or the Ark.
Yeah, the World Cup or the Ark. Good choices.
Royal Ascot gets a vote. The Arc de Triomphe, I like that one. That one gets a vote. Melbourne Cup, that has to be high on your list if you've never been. Barbados Gold Cup, Happy Valley in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong, another one. So Hong Kong, I guess the leader in the clubhouse with a couple of votes there. They tell me, and we've never been, they tell me that's an amazing trip.
Yeah, everybody that goes seems to enjoy it, and one of these days we'll have to hustle on over there.
Long flight, though.
Oh, I don't worry about that.
I do. See, I get punchy flying from Kentucky to Atlanta. Where we have to connect somewhere. And that's like, what, 45, 50 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's not my thing.
You know. But if you want to be a world traveler, you got to get on the plane and go.
I never said I wanted to be. Although I would like to go to the Melbourne Cup. I think if I had to choose.
Long flight, too, in case you haven't noticed.
That's longer than flying from Kentucky to Atlanta.
It's a little longer than that, yeah. It's almost, I think it's almost as far as Hong Kong. I'm not sure. I don't know have to check with my father-in-law. He's the international man.
How about for you, if you had to pick one venue? For me, it would be the Melbourne Cup. I think Melbourne 1 and the Arc number 2 are my two that I haven't been to yet.
I have a poster in my house that I purchased a long, long time ago of the Melbourne Cup, and it's always been one of my favorite races and days. First of all, you know, I love turf racing and I love long races, and the other thing is it's a national holiday in Australia, and I think anytime racing gets a national holiday, it's something that I should participate in.
Right.
So that would be you know, really high on my list, but also Royal Ascot and the Ark are two races that I'd like to go to. I'd also like to go to Dubai. I mean, I'd like to be my father-in-law, actually. Because he goes to all of them. Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, we are very fortunate in that we get to go to almost all the great races in the United States. And that's nice. But to be able to go to those races and races around the world. Yeah, but we're branching out a little bit. We've got Barbados and Canada now, and it won't be long before we do the Ark or something. We'll get there as well. But
yeah, who knows what's next as we continue to expand internationally here on the network, and that makes sense. Last year, listeners in 167 countries made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for racing coverage, and of course, we welcome you to do the same here in 2017. Still trying to get in touch with Eddie Woods. He may be tied up here this morning getting set for the sale. We certainly understand that these individuals are very, very busy at this time of year. We talk about that with trainers all the time when they're going to join us on this program between 8 and 10 Eastern. A lot of times that's their busiest time of the day. So we completely get it. We'll try to get you to Eddie Woods before the end of the first hour. If we do not, then you'll want to go to eddiewoods.com to check out his entire consignment at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale. And Jude, you talk about somebody who is one of the premier two-year-old consigners that we have in the sport today. Eddie Woods, right there at the top of the list.
Yeah, he's got a great team and does a fantastic job. His horses are always well prepared. They look well, and he is very successful. So he's a guy that you should always check out his consignment. He'll tell you what's up.
All right, let's do this. Let's get to one final break here in the first half of the program. We'll come back. If we don't have Eddie on the line, we'll take a look at that Risen Star Stakes. We're going to do it sort of in more depth in the second half of the program because we're going to be joined by trainer Tony Dutrow right around 9:45 Eastern time to talk about his exciting three-year-old Mo Town, who makes his three-year-old debut later today in that race. Also going to be joined at 9 o'clock Eastern by Eric Hamelbeck, the CEO of the National HBPA. And Mike Nyman will be with us for his usual spot at 9:25 Eastern. A popular guest, the director of marketing at Gulfstream, will tell us all about their big day and look ahead to next weekend's Fountain of Youth. So a lot of things still to come. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
When you're competing at the Grade 1 level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead.
by three, now by four. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best two-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
Gulfstream Park Championship Meet continues this afternoon with a 12 o'clock first post, 13 races, including three stakes, highlighted by the Grade 3 Gulfstream Park Sprint. Plus, get a free Gulfstream Park jockey poster and meet Gulfstream's world-famous jockeys with a poster signing from 10:45 to 11:30 Saturday morning and receive a collectible stainless steel jockey tumbler with your $10 donation to the PDJF. It's all part of another brilliant Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Welcome to your playground.
Undefeated in sprint competition, Eclipse champion Run Happy captured three Grade 1 victories and set blistering speed records at both Keeneland and Saratoga. In the Breeders' Cup sprint, he dominated the world's fastest runners, going six furlongs in a record-breaking 108 and change. The only horse nominated for three Eclipse Awards, Run Happy was crowned champion male sprinter, all the while racing 100% drug-free. Champion, millionaire, record breaker, Run Happy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
I mentioned that at your training center in Ocala, you spend time breaking so many of those young horses before they go on to Todd's operation. You've had a lot of success doing that, JJ. What's the key to being successful when you're working with these young horses?
You just have to be careful with them. And the main thing is we broke quarter horses the same way as we did thoroughbred. You know, you drive them and spend a lot of time on the ground with them, do a lot of riding before you ever go to the track. And that's the key to it to me is you do all your riding in a small pen or round pen for the first 30, 40 days, you're not as apt to get a horse hurt. If you go to hit the racetrack with them too quick, you get the first thing you do, they want to go do too much too quick, you know? I think that's the key to it. Spend a lot of time with them and have them where they're broke really well before you try to put any speed into them or anything like that.
That's J.J. Pletcher, who joined us this past week on our Trainer Talk program, which is all presented by Fasig Tipton. And J.J., the father of outstanding trainer Todd Pletcher, and what a relationship they've had over the years. And J.J. joined us for a full hour on that show. And if you missed it, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast right now. It was really a special visit. J.J. went on and talked about some of his favorite horses that he's had come through the program, and in particular, a little horse by the name of More Than Ready. You won't want to miss that story. Head on over to horseracingradio.net or Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes and check out the podcast. Speaking of Fasig Tipton and trainer talk, well, we segue now into our good friend Eddie Woods, who is getting set for the Fasig Tipton Florida sale, which comes up on Wednesday. Eddie, one of the premier two-year-old consigners that we have in the sport today. I told you can go to eddiewoods.com to see all of his offerings coming up at Gulfstream. But Eddie, kind enough to be with us now for a few minutes here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. How's everything down in Florida? Are we ready to go?
I think so. I hope so. We'll find out here Monday.
How many horses are you offering at this year's sale?
13.
Is that about the usual number, or is this up or down from where you usually are?
I think it's one or two up from the last couple of years.
All right, I mentioned the success that you've had. What's the key, Eddie? How do you do it every year?
Well, we got good clients, and they send us nice horses for the most part. And, Jude knows he trained, if you don't have a good product, it doesn't matter what you have.
Yeah, you've got to have the horse, and you have such a great team, and you're out there, looking at horses and finding horses for people that turn out to be successful pinhooks. Talk about that process a little bit.
Well, it's a really tricky process. Fortunately, we've had a lot of horses that have sold really, really well, and they cover up for a lot of errors because, only the top end sells well anymore. And And you got to spend a lot of money to buy the good product, and you got to buy lots of it. And it all doesn't pan out. You just hope the plus side is way better than the minus side. And if you stick with your own protocol and you're diligent and don't get off your plan, it'll work most of the time.
Eddie, I'm glad you brought up just the top half of the market selling well now. Where are we with the two-year-old sales picture in the sport of thoroughbred racing today?
I think it's all top end. You know, one of the reasons being, you know, every time you pick up a publication, they're talking about closing down another track. And it's usually always the smaller tracks. So hence there's less need for those, you know, if you want to call them blue-collar horses that support that good old claiming racing up like Boston and all them places that we've lost recently. And, you know, whereas we're selling to the wealthy people, even like, you know, a down stock market doesn't affect wealthy people. They still got plenty of money. And they'll be there to buy them nice horses all the time. And once you get away from the cream of the crop, kind of nobody's home.
When you're looking for those horses and you find them, the preparation that goes into them, and your horses always look so good. I mean,
thank you.
They're outstanding when you go see them at the consignment. How much do you have to put into that, and what's your secret to success with having those horses look so sharp all the time?
Well, you know, first of all, they're nice horses to begin with, and then the thing is, you know, you just got to. It's a lot of work, but you got to feed them really well. You can't be too hard on them, and you got to spot the problem before it's a problem. And you just, you know, we use a lot of blankets in the cold weather, and just stay on it. Like, we've a good team for that. My wife is brilliant, and you just can't say, "Oh, they'll be okay," because they won't be. You got to work at it.
No, nobody's worked at it better than Eddie Woods over the years. Again, eddiewoods.com is the website. You can get more information on all the horses that will be selling at this Fasig Tipton Florida sale coming up on Wednesday. Eddie, when you look at the under tack show, the preview day, how important is it, in your opinion anyways, for a horse to breeze quickly if they're going to bring big money, or do you prefer that maybe they don't breeze quite as quickly with these young horses?
No, in the perfect world, you'd prefer they didn't, but they have to go quick. They're expected to go quick. And more importantly, the videos are so important. They have to look so streamlined on the videos. There was a time when, you know, 10 flat, you were golden. Didn't matter what they looked like, so to speak. But now everyone's between slow motion and stride analysis and everything else we put up with. Everything's got to be, they got to look like they're the nuts coming down there, big, long, striding horses, balanced, and doing it kind of almost within themselves, but they need to be going quick.
So not only do you have to be a horseman, but you got to know something about cinematography, and it's a whole new game. It used to be like you had a good eye for a horse, but it's not like that anymore.
No, we got more gadgets coming around sales than I ever thought I'd ever see. But anyway, that's just the way the world has gone. Gadgetry runs the place.
Do you like that new approach, Eddie, or would you prefer it was a little more old school?
Well, I prefer the old school thing a little bit, you know what I mean? But, you know, the modern thing, we're dealing with, like, younger people anymore, and they've, you know, basically got raised on an iPad, and everything's numbers. People so much into numbers, you know what I mean, between, like, you know, stride length, heart rates, heart size, you know, most of the time when you look at a really, really nice horse that's got a big shoulder and a deep girth and got a good smooth way of walking, he'll have a good heart. Now you find something that's kind of pencil-like, no depth to it or anything, and someone tells you, well, this horse doesn't have a good cardio system. Well, no shit. Look at him. He doesn't look like a horse, you know?
You know, Baffert told me one time that nobody'd ever buy me out of a yearling sale the way I walked, but I told him he'd be making a mistake because I had a big heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you look down through those horses that will be selling for Eddie Woods at the upcoming Fasic Tipton sale, you see names, sires like Bernardini and Union Rags and Into Mischief, Medaglia Doro. I talked about More Than Ready earlier with J.J. Pletcher. Tappet, Animal Kingdom, Awesome Again. I mean, the list goes on and on. Eddie, what barn are you in? So when people do come down and they've heard you here on the radio and they want to say, hey, you're a rock star, let me see your horses, what barn are you in?
I have no idea.
Beautiful.
Ask him at the stable gate.
There's only two barns. I'm in the little one out the back. I don't think it even has a number.
Well, look for Eddie Woods, the little barn out the back at Gulfstream Park. If you can't, ask somebody. Somebody's going to know where the heck he is. Eddie, we appreciate the time, my friend. Good luck at the sale. Thanks for all your support of what we do here on the network, and we'll be cheering for you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Eddie Woods, eddiewoods.com, always a lot of fun. No clue where the heck he's going to be.
Well, you know, it's a little wild at the two-year-old sale sometimes. He's too busy looking at the horses.
All right, hour number two coming up here on the Equine Forum, and it's a very busy second half of the show. But before we get to that point, we do want to remind you that if you're not ready for Equestricon 2017, well, you better get ready. Tickets went on sale yesterday. And you can go to equestricon.com to get your tickets and make sure you reserve a spot at that conference in Saratoga in August. It is going to be spectacular. The first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show. And you say, well, what the heck does that mean? Well, the point of the convention is to bring the entire industry together under one roof and open the doors to the fans, allowing unprecedented access and opportunities for engagement. You won't want to miss it. HRN is the official radio partner of Equestricon 2017 and very proud to be that official radio partner. Again, equestricon.com. Tickets are on sale now. Head over there and get your tickets. Second half of the show coming up next right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate drops in the Pegasus.
Drapong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Drapong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish. But Drapong's the leader. Drapong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum rolling on. On this 25th day of February 2017, and in case you're wondering, yeah, we're a little closer to that first Saturday in May. Now just 70 days, 8 hours, 30 minutes, and 51 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, and it'll be here before you know it. But one Derby prep on the docket today. That's right, one, the Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds, but it's virtually a win and you're in. It awards the winner 50 points toward a spot in the starting gate at Churchill Downs, so it's a big one. And Motown, one of the likely favorites in the race, maybe the favorite, is going to be trained, or he is trained, by Tony Dutrow, who is going to join us here on the program later in the second half of the show. That will be right around 9:45 Eastern as we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby and that segment presented by Gainsway. But Jude, we had a very busy first half of the show. A couple of interviews, including your interview with Bill Mentes, who took his entire family to Barbados for a vacation based on our recommendations. Brave man. And then Eddie Woods, who joined us just a short time ago to preview that Fasig Tipton consignment.
Yeah, Bill had a great time, and I'm glad he went. He really seemed to enjoy it.
If you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast available for you to listen to at your leisure. A couple of housekeeping notes before we get to our first guest of the second half of the program. Later today, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can tune in to our exclusive coverage of the Risen Star Stakes and Saturdays at Gulfstream, presented by the FTBOA. Today's feature race at Gulfstream is the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint. You can tune in 5 Eastern, Sirius XM Channel 83, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile and Christina McManigal have that coverage for you. And a poll question at Twitter, at HRN. All you have to do is go to at HRN on Twitter and let us know your thoughts. What international racing destination is number one on your bucket list? Could be Barbados, could be Dubai, could be Royal Ascot, could be Hong Kong, could be Woodbine. We want to hear from you. Which international racing destination is number one on your bucket list? Weigh in right now on our Twitter, and we'll try to pass those responses along later in the second half of the show.
Yeah, it's been popular so far.
Yeah, it's been very popular so far. All right, so we mentioned in the first half of the show that Eric Hamelbeck, who is the CEO of the National HBPA, would be with us at this time. Earlier this week, there was an article that came out on the Pollack Report, written by Ray Pollack. And the title of the article, Legal Defense Fund Created by National HBPA Supporting Indicted Penn National Trainer. Now, let me just set the scene for you here. When you read through the article, it's pretty straightforward as to what seems to have occurred here. Now, trainer Murray Rojas has been charged with multiple counts of wire fraud and criminal conspiracy in a long-running federal investigation. The National HBPA has created an entity which is known as the National Thoroughbred Owners and Trainers Legal Defense Fund Foundation. That foundation supports trainers who are going through different types of appeal processes in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Eric Hamelbeck has, well, he's kind of been under fire over the course of the last week because of this article and some of the things that were written in this piece. And Eric is with us now here in studio. Eric, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's great to be here. As always, Mike, I love being here with you and Jude. And I mean, today's a great day for me to be here. Risen Star, Stakes Day, me as a kid, Eddie Delahousie turning for home in the Kentucky Derby, and he drops the crop. For me, you know, as I always referred to Mr. Louie, I remember Risen Star having his own stall in the New Orleans at the fairgrounds and watching Mr. Louie sitting in his car outside the track, watching him train. And that was, you know, I still get goosebumps thinking of that horse. So he was just an amazing horse to be around, especially me as a kid. I was probably 6 or 7, about that age. But
did you hear the race call we played in the first
half?
No,
I did.
Winning the Belmont?
You did.
It was
Marshall
Cassidy, right? Was it Marshall that had the call?
Yeah. I think that was right. But it's just an amazing – he was an amazing horse. And I thought a lot of people, especially in South Louisiana, were going to put Eddie up on something because he dropped that crop. And everybody said he was the next Triple Crown winner. But one race down, so – but he came back and proved himself. But, no, I appreciate you having us on here today because this is a very touchy subject. I mean, I'm not going to dance around that in any way, shape, or form. The establishment of the National Thoroughbred Owners and Trainers Legal Defense Fund was intended to be an aid for trainers and owners through an application process, and it was established to aid anyone who went through the approval process to give them help in areas that were determined by the board of directors to be significant and significant ramifications that could in effect affect all of the horse racing industry. And the case that we've got going on in Pennsylvania, I would first say, as well written as the article was by Mr. Pollack, it was telling one side of a story. And I would like to make sure that people realize exactly what's gone on here, at least hearing the other side of the story. So in 2015, when the indictment first came around, there were five counts related to 11 races. And very simply, not one article written about this instance details the fact that there was not one positive test. So let's get our head around that for a second. The indictments came down, and there was no positive test from any post-race sample. But yet she's been given medication violations. And so we look to see how that happened. There were alleged veterinary records that showed medications given on race day. Now, Jude's in the room with me. Jude's a horseman, knows one of the medications that was allegedly given was Legend on race day. Why would you give Legend on race day? One of the other medications allegedly given on race day, dexamethasone. Now, Jude, if you give an azium shot on race day, do you think you're going to get a positive test?
Probably.
Most likely. You could give a hub dose of azium on race day, and you will get a positive. So what's going on here, and what we're trying to assist with in that bigger scale and to really get your head around the issue, this is a significant ramification that could affect horsemen throughout North America.
Let me back up, Eric, if you don't mind, let me back up just a little bit here. You mentioned, the counts and that the medication or the Legend, as you described it, right, which is a product that was given on race day.
Allegedly
given on race day. Why? I mean, if I'm the trainer, right, why even take a chance with that particular product on race day? I think a lot of people listening are thinking, okay, well, why take a chance and give that on race day?
Exactly. And if you look at how long this case has gone on, Mike, I think it's fairly clear that there is no case. Now, is it a coincidence that there's a certain representative in the state of Florida that has put out, I believe, two bills trying to repeal the Interstate Horse Racing Act? To me, it's a coincidence that kind of comes together as a very likely probable reason why Pennsylvania, not necessarily Ms. Rojas, but Pennsylvania has been chosen to go down this path. And again, what we're talking about here is the legal precedent that can be set. And we're not talking about just Pennsylvania. And again, coming back to what we're saying, significant ramifications that could affect all of us in the horse racing industry, this precedent is and could affect every racing jurisdiction, period. The issue here to understand, it's whether or not these violations of a regulatory rule rise to the level of a federal crime. A federal crime. So let's bring it back home for just a second. It's been all over the news, well, the trade news, about three cases of dextrorphan proven to be contaminants in the horse. The Racing Commission in Kentucky dismissed all of the cases. So let's say now Mr. Mike Maker, Ms. Nina Hahn, and Bill Mott are now, because of regulatory rules being broken, is indicted for federal wire fraud. Mr. Kellen Gorder had an obvious contamination of methamphetamine. He would now be indicted under this set of rules for federal wire fraud. Why is that? Because we have simulcasting across state lines. That's where your IHA comes in. That's the problem that we've got here. In this case, we're not trying to establish the do's and don'ts. What this case brings about could affect any violation, whether it's deemed a therapeutic medication overage or a true performance-enhancing medication or drug, and it moves into a federal case for criminal charges. That's the precedent that we're trying to keep down. I've said before, and I know, Mike, you know this, and Jude as well, there's not an organization out there, and more than the National HPPA, the THA, the TOC, the CTT, all of the organizations that represent horsemen, we do our best, and there's not any of us who want cheaters caught more, period. We are the ones that have to run against them. We are the ones that are out there making a livelihood from this industry. Do you think, as Mr. Bill Mott recently said, he doesn't want people cheating? We can't take it, we can't have it, and it ruins the rest of the sport. This instance is not cheating. This is an agenda being pushed for something, what I would consider a greater, more broad spectrum that is geared towards something worse.
All right, so just to recap and make sure that I understand this correctly. So the fund, the National Thoroughbred Owners and Trainers Legal Defense Fund Foundation, which has provided assistance to trainer Murray Rojas during this process, is, from the National HBPA perspective, geared toward fighting the precedent that could be established if indeed this were to go the wrong way. Is that right?
That's correct. And okay. And I would also extend to the fact
not,
that...
Not defending somebody who was allegedly accused of cheating in the sport of thoroughbred racing.
That's correct. What I would say is this case in particular is revolving around medication. I would certainly say that in the future, as we hope to grow this possibility, it doesn't have to necessarily be about a medication. Again, we come back to it's a significant ramification that our board, or that board in particular, deems as an issue that could affect the industry as a whole.
But as a legal defense fund, whether somebody is guilty or not, they deserve a defense, right?
Innocent until proven guilty.
Right. So you cannot, if I gave a horse illegal medication and I didn't have the money to defend myself, then I would apply for this and I might get the funds and maybe I'm guilty as sin. But there's no way around that unless you make a rule that says if it's a class one or whatever. But by and large, we've all seen bad tests, contaminated tests, all of those things, and I would have the right to a defense, right?
Correct.
And the fact that this fund would give me money for that defense, that's not a reflection on the fund, right? Because I haven't been proven guilty. If you start deciding, oh, well, this person deserves money from the fund because, you know, they seem like they're pretty cool, you know, that totally blows the whole thing out of the water.
Let me ask this question and play devil's advocate for a minute. Mm-hmm. What if that individual is indeed found guilty? Not only do you lose the precedent that you were trying to defend, right? But you also now look like that fund is funding somebody's defense that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, and they were indeed found guilty. Then what? Then it kind of leaves a black eye, doesn't it?
Well, I would say that the prosecution for O.J. Simpson feels like a black eye. I mean, ultimately, there's going to be a winner and a loser. Certainly in horse racing, that's the way it is. The establishment of the assistance in this case, once again, it is not from a greater view to say we are protecting this individual against what they are being charged with. This is a precedent that is, and we feel, can affect all across the nation in our horse racing industry.
Right.
So obviously we certainly feel as if we want to prevail for Mrs. Rojas's case, but not for Mrs. Rojas in particular or individually. This is something that we need to do for horse racing as a whole. And again, I want to go a little bit more into the case because I know there's people out there chomping at the bit. Most recently, the indictment was extended, okay? Because as I said in the very beginning, and hopefully it gets quoted properly, the first five counts, there was no medication overage. Recently, very recently, and again, the pursuit of this has been going on for quite a while, they've now extended the indictment to cover now up to 47 head of horses since 2008. So now Ms. Rojas has a violation of clenbuterol. So let's talk about that because it won't get put in the press. The clenbuterol threshold was changed by the Pennsylvania Racing Commission based off of a study. And the threshold, the RMTC recommended threshold, was deemed by a study in Pennsylvania to which their regulatory authorities adopted as 24-hour withdrawal time, which obviously was a mistake. That is where now Murray and quite a few other trainers have been, on their record, have medication overages. So again, there's two sides to every story. I wrote an article a couple years ago now, where's the positive? Ultimately, if you get told both sides of the story, I think there certainly is a way to more fairly judge the story. And there are certain articles that have come out, and not that the articles were done incorrectly, not that they were done improperly, but they left out portions of the story for whatever reason. That's all we're trying to establish.
Eric, you were kind enough to be accompanied by your general counsel, who is Peter Eckebert, who has been sitting here quietly nodding his head and just listening to the whole conversation. Peter, about 3 or 4 minutes here before we have to get to our next commercial break, but I do want to give you an opportunity to weigh in on this conversation.
Well, thank you, Mike, very much for the opportunity to come and address this issue with Eric. One of the things we want to point out is that the fund was just set up within the past year, and the fund is set up for not just Ms. Rojas. She happens to be the first one that took advantage of the fund, and we are like in the infancy stages, so that we don't have a whole lot of discretionary funds. But we made a decision. Our board is made up of 10 individuals who have horse racing experience and some with legal experience as well. We don't look at the situations that are presented seeking assistance to determine whether or not someone is guilty or not. We're looking at the ramifications it has and looking at whether or not that person appears to be sincere, appears to have made a significant contribution to their own defense, the board then makes a decision whether or not they feel that assistance is warranted. We also would look to the individual affiliate, that state affiliate where that individual happens to reside, to determine, to get their recommendations as well. So we take in a whole broad spectrum of information before the decision is made whether or not to help with the funding of a defense. And the reason that we felt that the National HPPA felt that it was necessary to set up this type of a fund was because, you know, our testing is becoming much more sophisticated. There's many issues that a trainer that's out there may not be able to afford a defense, and oftentimes will just decide that for the purposes of expedience and the fact that he can't afford it, that he or she can't afford it, they'll go ahead and plead to some type of an arrangement where they get a suspension and a fine. We wanted to try and set something up that would give them another alternative, and if it's something that we feel is justified, and we're not, like I say, studying every aspect of the case. Eric has gone in and knows a whole lot about the Rojas case, more than I know. But there's a lot of things there that seem to trend towards the fact that she's got some great defenses, some super defenses, and only way to bring those out is through having a competent lawyer to do that.
Well, gentlemen, I know that this is far from over. There's still a long road ahead, and we look forward to hearing more about this as we move throughout the process. Eric, can't thank you enough for coming in and kind of spelling things out and taking a look at the other half of the story, so to speak. And Peter, thanks so much for being here as well. Really appreciate it, guys.
Well, the thanks comes back to the both of you. And again, with HRRN, I can't thank you guys enough for supporting horsemen, for supporting racing. A big portion of our mission statement is to promote thoroughbred racing. And if we don't stop some of the negativism that continues to be spewed out there, it's going to really damage, if not destroy, our industry. Take a look at what Dr. Bramlage, just the title, beaten down by the PR machine. That's what we can't stop fighting that. We have got to be standing up for what is right. And in my case, what is right is what is right for the horse. How many times have you seen articles written where they expound upon an issue and not once is the horse written about? It's getting to me, guys. And it's the bear is getting ready to, the tiger's coming out.
Eric the tiger, hear him roar. All right, we're going to get to another commercial break. We will come back. Mike Nyman is on the other side of that break. He'll tell you all about the big weekend coming up at Gulfstream. Don't forget Tony Dutrow still to come at 9:45 Eastern, talking about Motown going to the post in this afternoon's Risen Star. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Trey Fung pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Trey Fung's the leader. Trey Fung has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Trey Fung that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Trey Fung being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeders Sales is the two-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Hit It A Bomb. The precocious, undefeated Grade 1 winning two-year-old and the only Breeders' Cup winner by elite sire Warfront. One of Warfront's best-bred sons at stud, hailing out of a stakes-winning Sadler's Wells mare, his half-sister, Brave Anna, is a current Grade 1 winner and leading two-year-old filly in Europe in 2016. Hit It A Bomb, standing at Spendthrift.
Amid the beautiful rolling hills of the Bluegrass, the sun dawns a new day at Coolmore America. Sire sensations Uncle Mo and Giant's Causeway are blazing a trail for champions Shanghai Bobby and American Pharaoh. New in 2017, champion juvenile Air Force Blue joins Declaration of War as multiple Grade 1 winning sons of Warfront. Coolmore America, home of champions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But it's Animal Kingdom and John Velasquez to win the Derby!
Animal Kingdom stormed to victory in the 2011 Run for the Roses, becoming the only horse to win the Kentucky Derby in his first start on dirt, and only Secretariat ran a faster last half mile in the Derby than Animal Kingdom's 47 1/5. That brilliant victory beneath the Twin Spires makes Animal Kingdom your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, a champion three-year-old and brilliant winner of the Kentucky Derby and Dubai World Cup, rated 128 by Timeform, Animal Kingdom possessed unique talent as a Grade 1 horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic. He was remarkably consistent, finishing worse than second only twice in his career. Now his first foals are preparing for the races, so keep an eye out for foals from his first crop selling at the upcoming two-year-old sales. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Heading for home, 3/16 to run. Sharp Azteca fields a left-handed whip. Leads a length and a half to Mind Your Biscuits and 2.5 lengths to 10 Blessings. Semper Fortis getting up on the inside. Awesome Banner, More Spirit next. Sharp Azteca now a right-handed whip at the 16th. As on the outside, here comes Mind Your Biscuits to gobble him up, and Mind Your Biscuits will draw clear and beat Sharp Azteca half a length in the Malibu Stakes with 10 Blessings third and More Spirit ran fourth.
Mind Your Biscuits, the star of the show this afternoon at Gulfstream in the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint. It's part of a huge afternoon of racing. 3 stakes races, 13 races, 12 o'clock first post. And, of course, you'll hear that race exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. Sirius XM83 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All part of our continuing coverage of Saturdays at Gulfstream presented by the FTBOA. Mike Nyman is going to be with us momentarily. Of course, been a very popular guest on the program the past several weeks. Mike, the director of marketing at Gulfstream, he'll tell you about what you can expect in South Florida later today. But before we do that, let's give you a quick update, and it is your Blood Horse news update for this morning. Well, Guest Suite is taking Farish and Howard on a classic ride. No working relationship endures for more than 3 decades without some deep-rooted commonalities, keeping its core intact. Well, when it comes to their collective mindset regarding the first leg of the Triple Crown, trainer Neil Howard and longtime client William S. Farish serve as a reminder that a patient philosophy should in no way be confused with a dispassionate approach. Just because he is not a barn that considers it a setback if his charges don't register on the Kentucky Derby radar each season doesn't mean that Howard has anything but the highest regard for the defining mile and a quarter test. And while Farish's Lane's End Farm has created some of the most influential bloodlines in recent decades with regards to the American Classics, the patriarch of one of racing's storied operations recognizes that a Derby or bust mentality would accomplish little more than fostering ongoing angst. That Blood Horse News Update brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by BloodHorse.com. And remember, no one covers the thoroughbred industry like Blood Horse. From the Blood Horse Weekly magazine and tablet to Blood Horse Daily and that app and email. And you can learn more by going to BloodHorse.com. Racing, breeding, sales, industry news and analysis, and so much more. It's all there at Blood Horse. Well, even though the Kentucky Derby picture and the road to the Kentucky Derby is winding through Louisiana today, that road will stop at Gulfstream Park next Saturday for the Fountain of Youth. It's going to be an amazing day of racing with several graded stakes, but today, not too shabby either. And Mike Nyman with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, happy to have you on board once again and looking forward to this Gulfstream Park sprint. You get a horse like Mind Your Biscuits and you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be, of course, the two things that we always count on here, which is great weather and great racing, will be available here today at Gulfstream Park. We'll have 80 degrees and sunny, and as you mentioned, a 13-race card kicking off at noon, including one graded stake race, which is the 12th race on the card, which is a 6.5-furlong Gulfstream Park Sprint Grade 3. And as you mentioned, Mind Your Biscuits will be in there, just coming in from Santa Anita. So we're looking forward to seeing that horse run here. And the race has really got a lot of nice horses in there. One of my favorites, Delta Bluesman, who's been a nice horse and has won a bunch of races at a lot of different tracks should be a major competitor in the race.
Well, Mike, the racing always seems to speak for itself on a Saturday during the championship meet, and that's certainly the case later today. But in addition to the great racing, you also have one of my favorite giveaways today, and that's the Gulfstream Park jockey poster. And people will also have a chance to meet some of these world-famous jockeys too, won't they?
Absolutely. From 10:45 to 11:30 in the walking ring, we'll have our jockey poster signing. We have a really cool jockey poster this year. We put all the jockeys in tuxedos and put together like a beautiful, beautiful poster. This is something you're going to really want to have. They'll each sign it for you. They'll all be out there. I think it was 20 or 21 of them. And you have a chance to meet them. So don't be late because, of course, the first race is at noon. So it's a very tight window from 10:45 to 11:30. If you're not going to make it by then, we are going to be giving out the poster unsigned, though, all afternoon. And that'll be by the customer service booth in the Breezeway Bar. So, as you mentioned, it's always one of the best days and one of our favorite events. We also have a jockey mug that we're available with all their pictures on there for a $10 donation to the PDJF. And you can pick one of those up as well at the event.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing. And very nice to donate to the PDJF, the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. The jockey signing, that's always crazy. People start queuing up as early as 8 o'clock in the morning for that, and it's really cool. I love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, you know, we have our whole breakfast crowd that runs from 8 to 11. So, you know, they go right from the breakfast right to the jockey signing, and right after that, right to the first race. So we give you a nice full day here of racing, morning, noon, and night.
Yeah, it's going to be an outstanding day over at Gulfstream or down at Gulfstream Park today. And again, that coverage with us coming up 5 o'clock Eastern time, and get your jockey sign, your jockey autographs. You know, that's one of the cool things about Gulfstream is that the jockeys are relatively accessible. You know, we talk about that at Saratoga all the time, how the jockeys will walk through the patrons and the crowd as they come to the paddock. Well, Mike, it's kind of the same thing where the winning jockey at Gulfstream makes their way from the winning winner circle back to the jocks room and comes right through everybody in that breezeway walkway, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very similar to Saratoga in that way, and I think it's a great thing. When I go to Saratoga, you know, I think it's cool when you're downstairs when they're, you know, escorting the jockeys through the crowd after the race, you know, people running for a picture or an autograph. And jockeys are, you know, they've just been super athletes in their own right, but they're just really super human beings to work with. In the 6 years I've been here, anything that we've asked them to do or anything that we've asked them to be a part of, and I know they're, you know, busy like a lot of us, but they make the time out to be with the fans and participate in a lot of the many events that we have here on property.
Yeah, I totally concur with that. They seem to be a lot more giving of their time, and they're usually very gracious to the fans. You'll see them come back through the crowd and sign autographs and stuff, where a lot of other athletes in other sports, they don't seem to have the same kind of time or make the effort to do it, and it's really cool.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, the jockey is, you know, is the most familiar face in the business. You know, unfortunately, we don't get to see a lot of horses that, you know, have long, you know, careers, span of careers. We see a few from time to time, and those are always, you know, the ones we really like to relish. But, you know, the jockeys, you see guys, you know, ride for 25, 30 years and, you know, at the top of their game. And, of course, we're so privileged here in the winter to have all the top jockeys here and, of course, a lot of Hall of Fame guys. So, it's great to be around them.
Yeah, you know, Mike, as a marketing guy, I'm going to ask you this question. I have always said that the key to marketing thoroughbred racing, as much as we love promoting the horses when they're here, as you just stated, they're not here that long, the key is promoting our human stars. And in my opinion, the jockey should be front and center. As a marketing guy at Gulfstream, you had the privilege of attracting so many of the top horses, especially the young horses that are derby prospects during the year, during the championship meet. But you also had those top jockeys. What's the balance, from your opinion, from a marketing standpoint, to promoting the sport? How much do you promote the horse? How much do you promote the human stars?
Well, it just really depends. I mean, the horse really is dictated by the public most of the time. You know, when you get the American Pharaohs and, you know, the California Chromes and horses that just seem to, you know, really take off and the public really has an affection for them, you really need to ride that because you don't get a, like I said, a long window of that. And then, you know, the other times, you know, we're always pushing the jockeys, keeping in mind that, you know, looking at human athletes in this country, you know, always trying to elevate the jockey to a higher, you know, to a higher level, you know, with other sports and professional athletes. In places like South America, like for our Latin marketing, the TV that we run here in Spanish, it's very heavy jockey-oriented because in those countries, it seems to be from the research that I've done that the jockey is, you know, really head and shoulders with any type of top athlete in any sport in those countries. So they're very highly regarded, and we've been very successful really pushing the jockey element, especially a lot of them are from, you know, Latin American countries. So that plays into it very well. But again, you know, it's a balance. Whenever there's a horse out there that we can really promote and push, we're always going to do that first. And then always, you know, the rest of the time, we'll always be filling in with, you know, with our human stars and human athletes, the great jockeys.
Yeah, in Great Britain, the trainers are king. Everybody reveres the trainers even more than the jockey. So being a former trainer, I'd like to see that happen here in the United States.
I bet. And we do, and from time to time we do. You know, there's been a lot of legendary trainers, obviously, in the business and ones that, you know, that we love and promote, and, you know, when they're hitting, you know, major milestones in their careers. And, of course, you know, you talk about long careers, you know, we've seen trainers, whether it's, you know, Alan Jerkins, Woody Stevens, guys like that that have, you know, Bill Mott, that have been around for a long, long time and had a long, successful careers.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about your breakfast. A lot of times you'll have a trainer come out and talk to the fans, and I think that's really great. It gives them some insight in what goes on day to day and not just at the races.
Right, 100%. And I think that's just all part and parcel to all the marketing and to really market horse racing as a sport, you know, primarily. And that's, you know, how you want to engage, you know, people into the game. So to me, you know, the more that we can expose the fans to as many different aspects of the business as possible is only positive, and it's just going to make the game more viable and more popular with the fans.
Talking with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, about 2 minutes left before we have to get to our final commercial break of the program, but spend a minute talking about and looking ahead to next weekend with that Fountain of Youth Stakes. What an amazing day that's going to be.
Yeah, it's become a huge, huge day for us. Obviously, now we have to, you know, get through the Holy Bull and the early part of the three-year-old season. We start to really separate, I would say, the real contenders that we're going to see in the Triple Crown. And, you know, obviously the Holy Bull was a great race that day, some super horses, and we'll see that again next week. Of course, we'll have a great card that day as well. We have the Devona Dale, a grade two. We have the Mac Dermida, which is a grade two. We have, actually next week, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 grade threes and 3 grade twos on one card, 8 graded stake races on probably a 13 or 14 race card. You know, so that's obviously going to be another premium day. Our premium days have been off the hook and have been building every year. Our attendance and handles continue to grow on those days. And then we go right from there, right into the Florida Derby 4 weeks later. So that'll be, of course, that's always the highlight of the meet. And though, of course, I can't pass off on mentioning, you know, the Pegasus Cup last month, but for Gulfstream and the three-year-olds, Florida Derby still reigns king. And we're looking forward to that, and then see how these horses take off into the Triple Crown races. Yeah. And, hey, we saw Nyquist last year win the Florida Derby and turning around winning the Kentucky Derby. So it's always good to keep your eye on the three-year-olds here at Gulfstream.
Yeah, and that's why they call it the championship meet. Of course, we'll have coverage of that Fountain of Youth Stakes exclusively here on the network next Saturday, beginning 3 o'clock Eastern time. Mike, Jude and I have to make our way to Barbados next Saturday to cover the Sandy Lane Gold Cup, but Anthony Stabile and Radio Hall of Famer Dan Mason will be on site at Gulfstream. We're going to tag team the coverage, so it should be a lot of fun. Barbados, Gulfstream, it'll all be part of one big show.
Super. Looking forward to it. You guys should have a great time in Barbados. Sounds pretty interesting. I'd like to have to check that out myself one of these days. But we'll see you, I guess, back here for the Florida Derby, and it's always great being with you guys. You guys do a great job, and Gulfstream Park is much appreciative of it.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Nyman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Always a fun guest and very, very popular. I think he gets more tweets than we do every time he comes on. It happened again last week. Kind of ticked me off a little bit, actually.
That shouldn't tick you off.
All right, we're going to get to that last break. Tony Dutrow is on the other side of that break talking about Motown and today's Risen Star. Don't miss that interview. Before we get to that break, though, we want to remind you that, well, each and every final Saturday of the month, we bring you your KTA KTOB Spotlight. And I tell you every month that Kentucky bread means quality across the globe. For the second straight year, a Kentucky bred 3-year-old has been named the Longines World's Best Racehorse. Judmont Farms Arrowgate topped the list with a 134 rating, the same that Triple Crown winner American Pharoah received when he topped the rankings last year. Among European 2-year-olds, Kentucky breds hold 4 of the top 10 rankings, led by Group 1 winner and Royal Ascot heroine Lady Aurelia, who was rated at 121, only 1 pound below their champion colt Churchill. And it goes without saying that Arrowgate, who also ranked as the top of the world's 3-year-old rankings with a 134 rating, 5 pounds above Cartier champion 3-year-old Almanzor. Boy, let me tell you, Arrowgate just racking up the honors overseas, and rightfully so, and he is a Kentucky bred. Also ranked among the top 4 were Kentucky breds Nyquist and Songbird. Kentucky breds are a force wherever they race, so unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky bred group winners are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide. If you want to learn more, just head to KentuckyBred.org and start racing your Kentucky breds today. We're back with Tony Dutrow to go down the road to the Kentucky Derby on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coes in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a fire speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus
experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Takaful ran three quarters in 114, and they're coming for the quarter pole. It's Takaful in front. Here's Motown on the outside. Takaful and Motown, and they hook up in the stretch, and No Dozing is third. Motown has come away with the lead as they pass the eighth pole. Takaful back running in second. No Dozing is third. It's a Motown, the son of Uncle Mo, to win the Remsen with Johnny Velasquez. No Dozing was second. A photo for third between Takaful and Win With Pride.
John Imbriel, an enthusiastic call in the Grade 2 Remsen. Motown getting the victory that afternoon. He is 2-for-3 lifetime and makes his 3-year-old debut later today at the Fairgrounds in New Orleans in the Risen Star Stakes. And Motown looking like a major player on that road to Louisville in the first Saturday in May. His trainer, Tony Dutrow, is nice enough to spend a few minutes with us here this morning on the Equine Forum. Tony, it is Mike Penna and Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. Let's start by looking back on that performance in the Remsen. Really professional and really good.
We were very happy. It was, I think, about 65 days from his maiden win at Belmont Park to the Remsen going a mile and eight. And he seemed to handled just everything like he had done it before. So we were very happy to see him get the distance and act as professional as he did.
Well, you've done such a great job bringing this horse along, kind of an old school style with the sprint and then the one turn mile and the mile and an eighth, just a thing of beauty, and that big speed figure he got last time. It bodes well for his future.
Well, we felt that we felt we took our time with him. We never felt like we had the horse 100% to show what he could do, what he was capable of. But don't get me wrong, he was ready to run in all those races. So I have to be hopeful that from him, his turn to a 2-year-old to his 3-year-old year, I have to be hopeful that we haven't seen the best of this horse, and I don't think we're going to see the best of him today in the Risen Star Stakes as well. There's so much more of the year in front of him. But nonetheless, he is ready to run, and the horse is doing very good, and we're hopeful that we see enough positiveness today to keep the dream alive.
Well, Tony, it's funny you say that, because a couple of weeks ago, Ian Wilkes joined us on this program talking about McCracken, who made his debut in the Sam F. Davis and set the track record, and he said the same thing. He said, "I would be foolish if I told you he was 110% fully cranked for this effort today." Obviously, it's not the main goal. It's the same thing with Motown. Now, after he won the Remsen, you brought him to Florida to train for the winter. He is working exceptionally well, bullet workouts at Payson Training Center. And let me tell you, if you're working bullets at Payson, you're pretty fit. Tell me about the months since the Remsen and how this horse has developed and maybe even changed a little bit in your opinion.
Well, after Thanksgiving, we sent him immediately down to Payson in Florida, and he had a very light December. He was not out of training. He had no workouts, but he did get a saddle most days. But nonetheless, it was a pretty low key December. And January, we started his workouts early in January, and he had a fun January, and we gave him a couple good workouts in February. So I'm confident that the horse is ready to run today. I have to feel that he's not 100% in fitness, but that's no excuse. The horse is ready to get going today, and Ian Wilkes is a very, very good horse trainer. He has experience. I'm sure that he prepared his horse with the same approach that there's so much more the year to come.
When did you know that this horse might be something special?
Oh, boy, Jude, that's a big word. When did I know that this horse was promising and better than average and nice horse and glad to have him? Oh, probably March. But as far as special goes, boy, I'm hoping he's special. To this day, I'm hoping he's special, but I don't know that he is.
Tony, you've been to the Kentucky Derby before, back in 2013 with Giant Finish. What did you learn going down the road that year that maybe is helping you in your approach to going down that road with Motown this year?
Oh, well, how do I do this kindly? Giant Finish did not belong in the Kentucky Derby. I didn't even attend it. I don't know that I learned anything.
Well, Tony Dutrow, blatantly honest, brutally honest, talking about Giant Finish and that Derby in 2013. I'll ask it to you this way then, Tony. Do you feel at this point anyways that Motown deserves to be considered among those top Derby prospects?
Mike, deserve. You know, I got to answer it. Deserve? No. No, none of them deserve anything. They have all to prove their worth, each and every one of them. Distance and soundness and being classy enough to get there. So none of them at this point are deserving of anything. But all of them have so much to prove, and I'm hopeful, and I do believe that Motown has a lot of the tools to get himself there. But there's lots of long way to go here.
You this horse was purchased for $200,000 at the Keeneland September sale. Did you have something to do with the purchase?
Well, yeah, he was purchased for Team D. We bought him, sure. We bought him for $200 at Keeneland. Mm-hmm.
What caught your eye about him at that point, Tony?
Well, his Uncle Mo's first crop. Motown was in his second crop, but Uncle Mo's first crop, I had some. I was lucky enough to get about four of them from various clients that I work for. So I had some experience with them. And they were really the right kind of horse. So when I went to the Keeneland Yearling sales that fall, I went there in hope to buy a good Uncle Mo. And I was able to find one and buy one for $200,000. Now, having said that, right after that, boy, that Nyquist won the Breeders' Cup and next year the Derby and lots of good Mo's, Uncle Mo's started showing up that fall, and I could have never bought that horse this last year or this year for that kind of money. So I just was fortunate enough to be a little bit ahead of the bubble there and find a good Uncle Mo before Uncle Mo's really got to proving what they have and what they will continue to.
Well, Tony, he's proven he has a lot of ability, as you mentioned. He has all the tools. Let's hope he can continue to keep putting those together, and let's hope he can take you to Churchill Downs in the first Saturday in May. We appreciate the time, my friend. We'll be watching this afternoon. All the best with Motown and all your other horses.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. And I hope the same for all the people's promising three-year-olds, that everybody's three-year-old continues to keep the dream alive for them.
He's a class act. He's Tony Dutrow here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
And Tony, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Good stuff, JT. He has all the tools. We'll see if he belongs. Tony's not even sure he belongs.
I think
nobody belongs.
I think Tony's kidding himself.
Yeah, nobody belongs at the top of the list. The only one that belongs is the one that's wearing the roses.
Yeah, well,
at the end of the mile and a quarter.
You know, that's not exactly true. We were talking about Risen Star earlier. He's a pretty good horse.
Yeah.
So no, it's good to, you know, let the horses do the talking. I think that's very, very wise.
All right, we're back this afternoon, 5 Eastern, coverage of the Gulfstream Park Sprint and Risen Star, SiriusXM 83, and horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to all of our guests who made this show possible today. Don't forget the Blondo de Abismo kicking off at 10 AM Eastern, HRRN and Espanol.com. Our thanks to Lee Della Pina, to Sean C with social media, for the Pontiff of the Pick Four. I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.